big word. All right, well, let's go to Daniel 2. We're still studying the scripture in Luke 18, that how Christ had to fulfill all that was spoken of in the prophets. And we're looking at some of the things he was spoken of. It will take us the rest of our life to study them all. But
did you say Daniel 2?
Daniel 2. I'm in Daniel 3. All right. We're going to read the whole, most of the chapter, because this is critical. We're not going to read. I'll just say what's going on first. Nebuchadnezzar was the king when they overpowered Israel and sent everybody to the diaspora. And then Daniel and the two, or the three young men, besides Daniel, they wouldn't eat the king with the food. They ate pulse, which was essentially vegetarians, and this is the first biggie though. They were respected, highly respected, and this is the issue that brought Daniel and the three young men into massive prominence. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and the dream troubled him. But when he woke up, he was still troubled, but he couldn't remember the dream. But he knew something had happened in that dream, and it was troubling to him. So he called all the wise men and I'll read that part of it. That's chapter 2, verse 1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syria, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. And the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream, and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. And they answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. And the king answered and said, I know of the certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you'll not make the dream known unto me, if you'll not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asketh such a thing at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean, and it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. So that's the setup.
Well, they should have hightailed it at that first comment.
Yeah, hightailed it.
Get out of town.
Not in half, in pieces.
Yeah, pieces.
That's worse than in half.
That's right.
It's going to cut off their pieces. I didn't say that.
You didn't say
no,
that.
No, I didn't.
I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear that.
I'm jotting it down right now.
For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he should give him time, and that he would show the king the understanding, or the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house, and made the thing known to Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning the secret that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the real. With the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the great secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for the wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and sets up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. That's what you call faith.
That is on the hoof.
Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him. Well, I guess I skipped a verse, but that's all right. I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto thee, and make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and interpretation thereof? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king, and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. The dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than any living, but for their sakes, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest and beheld a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible or awesome. The image's head was of fine gold, and his breast and his arms were of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, and his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them into pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together. And because like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone was that smote the image became a great mountain and filleth the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O King, art the King of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And whereas the children of men dwell, wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the heaven hath he given unto thee, unto thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them, over all. Thou art this God of gold, thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces, and subdueth all things. And as the iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it the strength of iron, forasmuch as thou sawest that iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, and this shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, and they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall, like the God of heaven, set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And for as much as thou sawest, the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Now what again is that dream? It's very similar. We had the first kingdom, the head here of the being or the vision. The head was made of gold, and that's the kingdom of Babylon. And the next kingdom that was inferior was Media Persia. Then the next kingdom after that was Macedonian Greek. Then the fourth kingdom was the Roman Empire that was split. And no other kingdoms are mentioned after that, because after that last kingdom, the Roman Empire, there is but one people, one king. As I said yesterday, since the Roman Empire, there's no more, from God's perspective, there's no more bond or free, Greek or Jew, American, Mexican, Scot, Norway. From God's perspective, there's only the bride and the whore. There are vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy. Now, that's the reason that we give no breath to the things of the world. They are not important. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so these two Daniel visions and interpretations from his standpoint, the last day, the last days. The last from the standpoint of nations and people, that ended with the cross and resurrection of Christ. Now there's only vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy. People have kingdoms. Adam has kingdoms. But from God's people's standpoint, there are no more kingdoms. Until you see that, you're going to always be tempted to get involved in the world. You're going to always be tempted, Tom, to give your opinions about what should be in the world and what shouldn't be, Tom. You give no breath to the world. Your employer should be seen as Jesus Christ himself. Your only job is to be a servant. you have no rights. And that's the mystery of the kingdom of God. For some it may happen at once, but for most it's slow. You see that there's no there's nothing in the world that you love anymore. That's the end. There's nothing in the world that you give breath to. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For some instantly and for some slowly, you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Without doing that, the death and resurrection of Christ have no merit for you. Unless your mind is renewed and you're transfigured by the renewing of your mind, you're just going to be another Gentile running around, putting God's name on your stuff. Any response?
How do you deal with, say, if you have a boss who is a Gentile and he's totally obsessed with the world?
Then you are a servant.
So eventually, can I just surrender?
And eventually, there's no eventually.
Completely.
You surrender to see him as Jesus Christ himself. You are a bond servant.
Yeah, here we see that Daniel submitted totally to the king.
And he risked his life.
Yeah. I think that he comes to terms with it, for lack of a better approach. You don't give breath to, meaning you don't worship.
Don't give any importance to it.
You're in the world, and you're doing things in the world, but you don't worship there. You worship God, and in that you're a servant. Even though you're in the world serving, it's just like you say, you're serving your bosses or customers as they were, Christ himself. My view, that has to be the dividing line, is when you find yourself worshiping the things that you own or that you wish you had and all that desirous world, or you do own.
Well, that's the whole point. It's the trip. All of us, Israel was the perfect type. They were born in Egypt. They travel in the wilderness, and they finally made it to the promised land, and they finally made it to the temple, and they finally make it to the mercy seat. But that's all. Now that Christ is, it's all finished. Your way is finished if you only repent. So as you see, you're giving importance to anything. As you see, there's a place where you're not a servant. Your response is always repentance. Not that you get caught or that you get mad at somebody or whatever, but the whole point is this idea that you're being conformed to the image of Christ. But you must be in cooperation. He's not going to violate your stance, your place. You have to see the emptiness and vanity of it. Without doing that, you're just going to put God, you're going to be tempted to put God's name on the things you're doing. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. For, and everything in you and me and all of us that is anything different is rebellion. But if you're not even if you haven't engaged the battle of bringing every thought into captivity, that you haven't cast down the high places, then you're kidding yourself. You're just a Gentile with God's name on yourself. And that's because you haven't, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down these idiotic imaginations and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. There's no, you can't get around that. There's no dancing. Your job is always repentance. But if you don't see it, you can't repent. But if you think because he finished the way, you are finished the way, then you've turned the mystery of God into another instrument of self-seeking. We had Pete talked to another victim of these guys who had given money to many, many groups. And he got very sick. And then his wife was sick. And his daughters got lupus now. And some, they're living in Florida, and someone paid for their rent at a motel up to the 1st of November. So anyway, they'd given thousands of dollars to, in some one case, was it 18,000 they gave to one ministry?
I think that was the overall 18 to 20, at least since 2000.
Oh, okay.
But more than that, if you go back to 94.
Yeah, but anyway, so he called these people that he'd been supporting. And they've got it, they're now saying a new thing. And it's just, and several of them said exactly the same words, apparently. So it has to have been a deal that their attorneys have made, our organization is mandated that we can't give you money. It's just ludicrous. That denies even the 501c3.
Yeah.
But somehow some attorney, it was just too strange that several of them gave the same response when he called and asked for help.
Yeah, it was almost word for word for 10 different organizations.
Well, anyway, yeah. My point is, that's how this mystery of Christ gets corrupted. It gets corrupted the minute we think we have some rights. It gets corrupted the minute we do what I've done many times, which if somebody asks me for money and then I justify not giving it to him because he's going to use it for drugs, that's not my business. That's the lesson of the Good Samaritan. We every time we protect ourselves in any way, then we are leaving faith. I mean, this is a big deal. That's why this idea that if there are no nations from God's perspective, and those are the two, but there are many others, the prophets, where they've said similar things. And it's just struck me, if God isn't seeing the nations,
what is he seeing?
What?
If he's not seeing the nations, I understand that what you said, but he
sees only his bride.
A lot of whores.
What?
A lot of whores.
A lot of whoredoms. A lot of whoremongers. God so loved his bride that he gave his son. Or God so loved the bride that he gave his son. And some of you know I've been consumed with the book of Revelation lately. And it just confirms everything I've said this morning. It's this is there's a renewing of our mind that is so there's no way we could have conceived of this. There's no way we could have conceived of an environment where there was no time. We can't. We just make mockery of the fact that our mother, the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, has come down. The only entrance to it is repentance. Not once or twice, but every time you leave faith, it's repentance. In Revelation, when you read what happens on this, on the time when it's that thing, when it's the bride is finished. Man, if you got on the wrong garment, you're in deep doo-doo. And everybody else is just chaff in the wind. That's why, this is why the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Anybody have any response to what we said this morning and yesterday? Amen? Amen. Take it, big guy.